الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah to exalt the mention and grant peace and send His blessings and salutations upon the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu salam, upon his companions and all those who follow them on the path of righteousness until the end of time. We continue with the dars of Mukhtasar Minhaj al-Qasidin, Ibn Qudamah al-Maqdisi rahmatullah alayh, specifically the chapter titled Kitab al-Adhkar wa da'awati wa ghayri, the chapter on the adhkar. What does adhkar mean? Remembrance of Allah. Okay. Wa da'awat. Say da'awah. It could mean many things, by the way. Sah? Da'wah could mean an invitation. Linguistically, it's an invitation. It could be the act of inviting a non-Muslim to Islam. It could be the act of reminding of a Muslim of the obligations of Islam. And it could be a da'wah, a supplication, or an invocation to Allah Azza wa Jal. وغيرها and other than that. He said, اعلم أنه ليس بعد تلاوة القرآن عبادة تؤدى باللسان أفضل من ذكر الله سبحانه وتعالى. He said, no. And it's amazing how the ulama would often use this term. When you read the books of the ulama, find that they often say, اعلم رحمك الله, right? In the many books of Shaykh Muhammad Abdul Wahhab رحمه الله تعالى and others. It's like they're emphasizing the concept of learning. And you know, this is something which was commanded in the Quran. The only thing, as the ulama say, which the Prophet ﷺ was commanded to ask for more is what? What is the one thing which the Messenger of Allah was commanded to ask for an increase of, an abundance of? علم. وَقُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. SubhanAllah. That's the only thing. نعم. So, no, this is important to know. Without knowing, we'll be in trouble. That there isn't an act of worship which is done with one's tongue after Quran better. Let me just change the as usual. Which is performed with the tongue better than the dhikr of Allah. So, the number one thing is the recitation of the Quran. And then the next best act of worship, which is done with the tongue. Because there are other acts of worship done with other than the tongue, which may be more virtuous or more rewarding. Then the mention of Allah Azza wa Jal. وَرَفْعِ الْحَوَائِجِ بِالْأَدْعِيَةِ الْخَالِصَةِ إِلَيْهِ تَعَالَى. And then it's like conveying your needs. But the term which was used for conveying is what? رَفْع. Why? Why is that? Why do you need them to be raised? Because Allah is where? Above. You see? There's a relation between that. إِلَيْهِ يَصْعَدُ الْكَلِمُ الطَّيِّبُ وَالْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ يَرْفَعُ. To Allah ascends the good deed. And the goodly word, Allah raises up to Himself. Right? And then on the other hand, we have إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ تَنْزِيلًا. Verily it is we who has sent down the Quran upon you. So you find in the Quran things going up to Allah Azza wa Jal, تَعْرُجُ الْمَلَائِكَ, same thing. And things going down. This is from the adilla of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah that Allah Azza wa Jal is above. Otherwise things wouldn't have to be going up, nor anything would come down, had Allah been everywhere, as some Muslims claim. Hello? So رفع الحوائج. So to raise the needs بالأدعية الخالصة, with the sincere supplications to Him. ويدل على فضل الذكر قوله تعالى أو قوله تعالى فاذكروني أذكركم. Among the evidences which highlight the virtue of remembering Allah Azza wa Jal is the statement of Allah, which is really an amazing, يعني, it's an amazing two words. There are only two words. So, remember me, I shall remember you. Now, let's think of this equation. Okay? One of us who's equal to nothing. On the best day of our lives, we're equal to nothing. Mentioning Allah, not a big deal. Because the little, insignificant, unimportant is mentioning the king and the most important and so on and so forth. Not a big deal. But when the great, the majestic, the king mentions this unimportant, insignificant person, does he become important or not? Of course. Even in our worldly law, someone majhul, no one knows him. If some big person in the government makes mention of him, he becomes famous the next day. And people may give him money when they see him in the street. You know, his whole life can change. Like many people who want to appear on TV once. For many people, their dream is to appear on TV. And when nothing else works, what do? They commit a crime. He goes and kills someone. He says, at least I'll come on TV as a criminal. Al-Muhim, I come on TV. Others go to schools and shoot 15, 20 students, 30 students. Why? Kill people for no reason, just looking for fame. Sometimes it's just looking for fame, tired of life, I'm nobody. And he sees all these singers, you know, they bring on TV. And he sees that everybody's making it in life and he's just a nobody in school. So how do I be at level with these, you know, big, high profile people? I do something big, something outrageous. The people say, what is this? You become famous. Alhamdulillah, Muslims don't feel this way. Hope you don't feel this way. So when Allah mentions someone, that's a big deal. That's a big deal. Now, of course, when Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions someone, where does Allah mention that person? Where? فِي الْمَلَئِ الْأَعْلَى. Among the angels which are nearest to Allah. That noble group of malaika. And this is what salah upon the Prophet ﷺ mean. When you, عندما تصلي على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, you're basically asking Allah to exalt His mention. That's why the translation is not peace be upon Him. You may use that for brevity purposes or because that's what you're used to. It's not wrong to translate صلى الله عليه وسلم as peace be upon Him. But that's really only a very small fraction of the meaning. The complete meaning is may Allah exalt His mention and grant Him peace. Salat and salam. Exalt His mention, meaning raise His mention. وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرًا. That's what it is. That Allah Azza wa Jal will mention the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam among the al-mala'u al-a'la. وَقَوْلِهِ وَالذَّكِرِينَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا وَالذَّكِرَاتِ. And the men who remember Allah abundantly and the women who do so. Of course, this ayah came at the end of a lot of qualities which Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned of the good believers. وعن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال إن الله عز وجل يقول أنا مع عبدي ما ذكرني وتحركت بي شفته. That Allah عز وجل mentioned in a hadith Qudsi, which is the Prophet عليه السلام saying what Allah عز وجل said. Scholars have differed. Is it that the wording itself, is it that of Allah? Or is the wording that of the Prophet ﷺ, however he's conveying it from Allah? There's a difference of opinion among the ulama. Either way, you differentiate between al-hadith al-Qudsi and the Qur'an by knowing that you cannot recite hadith Qudsi in the surah, in the salah, and say, well, Allah said it, therefore it will suffice. La. The Quran is the Quran. Even though Allah said, even though the Prophet ﷺ said, يَقُولُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ, it does not count as an ayah. It's just a hadith Qudsi. That Allah said, I am with my slave when he mentions me. And while his lips are moving, mentioning my name. So that's another virtue, that Allah Azza wa Jal will be with the slave. In a sense, as the ulama understand it, at least some of them, that Allah will support this person, guide him, protect him, so on and so forth. That's why when you go out of your house, you have ad-diya. We have a particular dua, more than one, which we're supposed to actually say upon leaving the house. Who knows the ad-diya of leaving the house? Okay, bismillah, tawakkaltu ala Allah, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Sah? Then, Allahumma anni a'udhu bika an adilla wudal, aw adilla wudal, aw azlimu aw azlam, aw ajhala, aw yujhala alayhi. So, you say this, and you will be protected bi idhnillahi azza wa jal. So, this is means of protection by remembering Allah. And of course, when you enter the house, you say, bismillah. Nah, where's the food? Especially for the married men who've been working all day, as soon as they come in the house, where's the food? Bismillah, come in. And the food is coming. And you're not going to eat at the door. Actually, the food is on, it's cooking. It's been cooking for 3 hours. We don't know why. It happens when you get married. Strange things happen. وفي أفراد مسلم عنه صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال لا يقعد قوم يذكرون الله إلا حفتهم الملائكة وغشيتهم الرحمة ونزلت عليهم السكينة وذكرهم الله في من عنده وفي ذلك أحاديث كثيرة مذكورة في فضائل الأعمال. إني another حديث the Prophet صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم said that no group of people sit together. And I, inshallah ta'ala, يعني we are an exemplification of this hadith. This is actually a materialization of this hadith. So, يعني نسأل الله من فضله. No group of people sit together remembering Allah. We're not discussing any dunya here. صح? Except that the angels will surround them. Now. And the mercy will cover them. And calmness will descend upon them. Calmness, calm, tranquility. Huh? And then Allah will mention those people among those who are nearest to Him. Alhamdulillah. MashaAllah, tabarakallah. Allahumma nas'alukam fadlik. Sallallahu qabool lana jami'an. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه. The Shaykh said there are many ahadith actually in this regard, which you can find in the Fada'il al-A'mal. Not the book of the Tablighi Jama'at. Okay, because you know, the word fada'il amal, it's an Arabic terminology. Of course, we have fada'il amal, fada'il sadaqat, fada'il sadaqat, and these are books which are used by a group who do their own thing. Yani, we're not going to discuss that now, but we're not referring to these books because these books contain some problems, some serious problems. So the Shaykh is mentioning here fada'il amal, meaning the virtuous deeds in general, not the book, of course. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال ما جلس قوم مجلسا فتفرقوا على غير ذكر الله عز وجل إلا تفرقوا عن مثل جيفة الحمار وكان ذلك المجلس عليهم حسرة يوم القيامة وفي حديث آخر لا يجلس قوم مجلسا لا يذكرون الله عز وجل ولا يصلون على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إلا كان عليهم حسرة يوم القيامة. Now pay attention to these two important narrations. Abu Huraira narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he said, no group of people sit together and then depart. Then they leave with having not mentioned the name of Allah. They leave, they come together and leave without mentioning the name of Allah. Except that they will depart just like the carcass of the donkey. It's like the what do you call it when the body decomposes? It's like some nasty leftover of a dead animal. This is the condition in which they're in, and that gathering of theirs will be a means of regretfulness for them on the day of resurrection. In another hadith, it says the same thing: no group of people sit down without mentioning Allah, nor sending salah upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, except that this gathering will be means of regret for them on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Which means, no matter what the situation is, once we come together, even if the discussion is not necessarily Islamic, we have to include in this speech the name of Allah. Now, if you're a practicing Muslim, if you can use this term, this is nothing new for you. You find that the people often speak in this way. MashaAllah, when did you buy this, for example? So, the name of Allah was mentioned there. Sah? And of course, among some communities, every time you want to tell him something, say, Salli al Nabi. Sah? He can't even speak. Salli al Nabi, Rajal. Salli al Nabi. So, they're telling you to send the salah upon the Prophet. So, it's happening. But it's usually happening unintentionally. It's happening more like it's a customary, you know, it's a ritual. And we need to bring to it the spiritual aspect that we want to make out of this gathering the name of Allah, mention the name of Allah and that of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that it will not be a hasra for us on Yawm al-Qiyamah. The Shaykh went on to say, وَأَمَّا فَضِيلَةُ الدُّعَى فَقَدْ روى أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال ليس شيء أكرم على الله عز وجل من الدعاء. In this hadith, The hadith the Shaykh mentioned in the footnotes, by the way, that it was narrated by Ahmad Tirmidhi and Hakim, وَصَحَحَهُ وَفَقَهُ الذَّهَبِي. So, inshallah. The Prophet ﷺ said, there isn't anything which is more honorable to Allah than dua. And وَأَشْرَفُ الْعِبَادَةِ الدُّعَى. And the most noble of ibadah is dua. And you will find that in almost every ibadah, there's dua. If you fast, you recommend to finish the fasting with dua. And when you go for hajj, you have so many situations and occasions where you are requested or expected to make dua. Too many to enumerate. Almost the whole hajj is dua. Then in salah, you're making dua. And so the list goes on. وَمَنْ لَا يَسْأَلِ اللَّهَ يَغْضَبُ عَلَيْهِ أَوْ يَغْضَبْ عَلَيْهِ. Whosoever does not ask Allah, Allah will become angry with this person. وَفِي حَدِيثٍ آخَرٍ سَلُوا اللَّهَ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ أَنْ يُسْأَلُ. Ask Allah of His bounty, because verily Allah loves that He is asked. So we are actually depriving ourselves when we don't ask for anything, because Allah loves to be asked. Whereas human beings don't like to be asked. So we usually go to the human beings and we don't go to Allah. So human beings don't like to be asked, we ask them all the time. And Allah loves to be asked, and then we don't ask. What's going on here? وَلِلْدُعَاءِ adab. We were speaking, the whole book is actually dealing with adab. Etiquettes. And dua has etiquettes. مِنْ ذَلِكَ أَنْ يَتَحَرَّ الْأَوْقَاتَ الشَّرِيفَةِ. That you fetch and you seek the noble times, occasions in other words, the specific times. كَيَوْمِ عَرَفَ مِنَ السَّنَةِ. Like on annual basis, the day of Arafah. وَرَمَضَان مِنَ الشُّهُورِ. And on monthly, in regards to the months, Ramadan. وَالْجُمُعَةِ مِنَ الْأَسْبُوعِ. And in regards to the weeks, يوم الجمعة. We have another hadith about الأربعاء, ya Abdullah. Hadith al-Sahabi, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, was it that the Prophet ﷺ used to make dua at that particular time, and then he started copying him, and hadith Sahih al-Albani, I don't remember the hadith, subhanallah, alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. Wal-sahar min al-layl. Now here it's important when you read Arabic books that don't have the tashkil, they don't have the diacritical signs, which is the Dhamma, Fatha, Kasra. It's important that you have your Arabic language somewhat sharp, because you may get confused. The word now says Alif Lam Sin Ha Ra. You could read this as what? Sihr. So someone says, what? Magic during the night? When I'm engaged in magic, I make dua. I say, yeah, Sheikh, you will go out of Islam if you do magic at night or during the day. So here you have to know, even if it's not written there, you have to know that there's sihr and sahar, and then it's a common name amongst the Middle Eastern. You meet some lady, her name is Sahar. You won't meet a lady, but you will hear about a lady, her name is Sahar. Right? So I mean, you have to know the context. Here sahar is what? From which word? Or which word do we know that is close to this one? Suhoor. Suhoor and sahur. What you eat and the time you eat it, which is that pre-dawn time. Sahar. Bil ashar. Wa bil ashari hum yastaghfirun. Sah. Tayyib. That's what it means here, not sihr. So the sahar min al-layl, meaning that last part of the night, in other words. Wa min al-awqati sharifati bayn al-adhani wal-iqama. And noble times such as between adhan and iqama. Wa uqayb al-salawat. And after the prayers, without raising your hand. وَعِنْدَ نُزُولِ الْغَيْثِ. In the obligatory salah, that is. And upon the descent of rain, the falling of rain. وَعِنْدَ الْقِتَالِ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. And when engaging and fighting in the cause of Allah. وَعِنْدَ خَتْمِ الْقُرْآنِ. And when you complete the Qur'an based on the athar of Anas radiallahu anhu, that he would bring his family make dua, not in Ramadan. وَفِي السُّجُودِ. And upon prostration. وعند الإفطار, upon breaking the fast. وعند حضور القلب ووجله. And whenever your heart is present and trembling, anytime you find your heart soft, this is the time to make dua. وعلى الحقيقة فإن شرف الأوقات يرجع إلى شرف الحالات، فإن وقت السحر وقت صفاء القلب وفراغه، وحالة السجود حالة الذل. He said, in reality, the reason why that time is considered noble is because of the condition. Noble condition is bringing that timing, making it virtuous, the virtue of the time. For example, why would the time of Sahar be virtuous? It's because of the time where the heart is pure and empty from the busyness of the dunya. But that's actually not only the reason. What is the actual better reason besides this one as to why the last third of the night, Sahar, is the time for dua? Because Allah descends at that time and He asks, هَلْ مِن سَائِلٍ فَأُعْطِيهِ. Is there anyone asking for anything so I may give him? Subhanallah. So this is a time where Allah Azza wa Jal descends. Therefore it becomes a virtuous time because of that. Along of course with the heart. Some people wake up in the morning thinking about business. So even that time is not a time for relaxation. And of course, he said, for example, the time of prostration is the time of humiliation. I mean, you're a human being, you walk with your head up and your legs down. And when you're in sujood, it's like the other way around. The most noble of your body parts, your face, is on the ground, on the floor, you know, facing down. Also, not like you're lying down on your back, relaxing. No, you're facing down. This is humiliation. That's why even if you play karate or taekwondo or kickboxing, whatever that stuff is, you can't be bowing to your opponent or to the crowd or people, you know, sports figures when they bow to the crowd who are, cheering them. Can't do that. This is ibadah. Ruku' and sujood, ibadah. It's a means of humiliation. You're humiliating yourself before other than Allah Azza wa Jal. Not allowed in Islam. Now we're going to come to a very sensitive part. Anyways, the Shaykh mentions other things. He said, from among wa min adab ad-du'a an yad'uwa mustaqbil al-qibla. Well, we can mention it. La ma fi haraj. Among the virtues of du'a or the etiquette of du'a is that you face the qibla. Wa yarfa'a yadayhi, and to raise his hands. Thumma yamsahu bihima wajhahu. Then he wipes his face with them. Time out. Don't get excited. I know already. Okay. This particular issue has to do with a hadith, some of the scholars have authenticated them genuinely, honestly, and others have not. So we say, the issue of wiping the face after finishing the dua is an issue wherein the scholars have differed. If you follow the opinion of the scholars who authenticated this hadith, then you are entitled to do this ibadah because you believe this is sahih. However, if you don't follow this opinion, and mind you, among the most virtuous of ulama, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah and others mentioned that lam yasuh fi hadha hadith. No, there's no authentic tradition in regards to wiping the face. And I believe it was what was his name? Another one of the senior scholars, subhanAllah, his name also escaped me now. He said, no one does this illa jahil. No one does this act except an ignorant person. I'm just letting you know the difference of opinion among the scholars. So some of them found that these ahadith, putting them together, da'if and da'if and da'if, yuqawi ba'duhum ba'd. So there's now some legitimacy for the hadith. While others consider this to be totally against the sunnah, and no one does it but an ignorant person. Okay? So of course, so this is what it is. Now, some of the scholars say, look, had this been the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, then it would have been narrated to us by so many of the Sahaba who would have seen him make dua. And it would have been something that would be clear cut. So, because it's something that is done consistently with dua, how often did the Prophet ﷺ make dua before the Sahaba? During the various occasions of istisqa and during the khusuf and kusuf and so on and so forth, many occasions dua were made. So all we have is some weak ahadith, weak ahadith which are not really solid for you to build this ibadah on. So they favor this position, which many contemporary scholars favor. Many of the ulama of today, or those who died recently, rahimahumullah, favor the position that this is not from the sunnah. Some of these old scholars said that it is from the Sunnah. So it's up to you. And if you don't know, then you follow a scholar whom you trust, in which case you go by that opinion. But because the hadith is da'if, usually the safe side is that you don't do it until you have a bayina. You are bayina that this is sahih. Besides the fact that people have, let's say, taken it to extreme. The way it is applied by some, it became extreme. The way they do it and the manner in which they do it, they added things to it which even the hadith that is narrated does not support. People, you know, spitting on their hands and wiping their face. This is before you go to sleep. We have that before you go to sleep when you recite Ikhlas and Mu'awwidhatan. But during every salah, people opening the shirt, I told you before, and they spit inside their shirt and they wipe the whole body, it became just too much. So stick to the sunnah if you think it's a sunnah. وَمِنْ أَدَابِهِ نَعْمْ وَأَنْ يَخْفِضَ صَوْتَهُ حَالَ الدُّعَاءِ يَا سَلَامُ. Where are the imams of Taraweeh to attend and hear this? And to lower his voice in the time of dua. Lower that voice instead of screaming as we hear in Ramadan. Screaming and violating the adab and the adab of dua. And the list, it requires a dars on its own. And the lecture will be dedicated to this particular topic, inshallah, because عَمَّتْ بِهَا الْبَلْوَى. It's something that has become prevalent, and it's a disastrous that we make dua in this particular fashion, where it lacks mannerism with Allah, the least we can say. So the Shaykh said, lower your voice while making dua. وَمِنْ أَدَابِهِ أَنْ يَبْدَأَ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. From the etiquette that you begin by mentioning Allah, specifically الثناء على الله, الحمد لله. ثم يصلي على النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم. Then you send the salat and salam upon the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. ولا يتكلف السجع في الدعاء. Don't try to rhyme. Not don't rhyme. You may wind up saying things which actually naturally rhyme, because the Arabic language you can easily rhyme in the Arabic language versus the English language. Rhyme is when words end with the same sound. Why? Because any noun in Arabic, pretty much you add ya noon or waw noon, and then khalas. Muslimin, mu'minin, muhajirin, muttaqin, muhsinin. The dua or the saja' or the rhyming came naturally, even though the words are different. And then with the same thing with the jam' mu'annath salim, muslimat, qanitat, sa'imat, ta'ibat, ila akhirih. But to make it a point to try to rhyme, just to rhyme, when it's takalluf, you're putting too much effort, you're overdoing it, then that shouldn't be done. وَمِنْ أَدَابِهِ وَهُوَ الْأَدَبُ الْبَاطِنُ وَهُوَ الْأَصْلُ فِي الْإِجَابَةِ التَّوْبَ وَرَدُّ الْمَظَالِمِ. SubhanAllah. And from the etiquettes of supplication, and it is actually the internal hidden etiquette, and it's the fundamental reason behind Allah responding to you, is tawbah. Tawbah in regards to the sins which are between us and Allah, huh? And then the sins or the violations against others. When there is a violation against others, besides tawbah, what else do we need to do? Give them back their rights. Raddul mazalim. Give back the people their rights. So there's the tawbah between you and Allah, and then the people's rights. You can't take it and go away with it and say, I've done tawbah. SubhanAllah. So from what prevents the dua being accepted is that we may be insisting on some ma'siyah wal'iyadu billah, or something that is preventing the dua from being accepted. So sincere tawbah is from among the means of the dua being accepted. How long have we been? Because it's after Isha, I don't like to stretch it. Huh? Go on or stop? He's like, go on. Sheikh, you're falling asleep, barakallah fiqh. Hey, go on. 5 more minutes? Abshir. فصل في الأوراد وفضلها وتوزيع العبادات على مقادير الأوقات. In regards to the أوراد, أوراد is the plural of ورد. Okay, and of course we have ورد again, we go to the same thing. Ward, which is roses. Nice to bring some for your family. Huh? Before you go home. Sometimes send them for 5 riyals. By the way, just on the side. We have sisters upstairs. Oh. Anyways, good. Yeah, akhwan, sometimes, you know, women, mashallah, tabarakallah, Allah created them, you know, they're so easy to please them. Sometimes they're impossible to please. And sometimes they're easy to please. Yeah, and look, you find this guy on the traffic light selling this, you know, Yasmin, bracelet. Is that a bracelet? Yeah. Or necklace, I'm sorry. Hey, that's the bracelet. Or this Zahra, you know, the small flower or rose, 5 riyals. And if you negotiate with him, you can even get it for less. And you go home with this thing, yeah, Sheikh, you are, I'm telling you, as if you bought a car, or you wrote the house in her name, or yani, some big deal. Well, you didn't do anything. It costs you a little money. But women are like this. It's like the thought, you know, that's what they say. They don't ask you how much it cost you. The fact that you thought about it is all it takes. So, you know, it's nice for a Muslim man to think in this way sometimes. Huh? It will do wonders in the home. You will have a good dinner, inshallah, that night. Huh? Hey, not on Valentine's Day, of course, yeah? Hey, barakallah fi. If you do it on Valentine's Day and we catch you, you're going to be in trouble. Yeah, nothing of that stuff. You'll have a good dinner, inshallah, and you know. So yeah, invest into things, small things like that. How did we get to that? Hey, well, word. Now, so that's word. Roses. Wird is that fixed amount or portion of remembrance that you do during the day and the night. Wirdun nahar, wirdun layl, adhkaru sabah, adhkaru masa, that's what it is. So a chapter on that and the virtue of these awrad and how they're distributing the ibadah according to time elements. اعلم أنه إذا حصلت المعرفة لله سبحانه والتصديق بوعده والعلم بقصر العمر أو بقصر العمر بقصر العمر بقصر العمر أي. Know that once you have known Allah سبحانه وتعالى and you have believed His promise and you've identified or you've internalized the shortness of this lifespan, it's very short. وَجَبَ تَرْكَ التَّقْصِيرِ فِي هَذَا الْعُمْرِ الْقَصِيرِ. It becomes obligatory to abandon shortcomings in this very short lifespan, which we're not doing, by the way. وَالنَّفْسِ مَتَى وَقَفَتْ عَلَى فَنٍ وَاحِدٍ حَصَلَ لَهَا مَلَلٍ. The way we are, human beings, once you do one thing consistently, you will become bored. You become bored. فَمِنَ التَّلَطُّفْ نَقْلِهَا مِنْ فَنٍ إِلَى فَنٍ. Out of being easy and gentle to yourself is that you go through different things. You go from one, and engage in one act into the other. Doesn't mean here fun like the actors and actresses. وَقَدْ قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَاذْكُرِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ بُكْرَةً وَأَصِيلًا وَمِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَسْجُدْ لَهُ وَسَبِّحُهُ لَيْلًا طَوِيلًا. So mention the name of your Lord in the morning and in the evening. And during the night, prostrate, lengthy prostrations throughout the long night. فَهَذَا وَنَحْوِهِ مِمَّا ذُكِرَ مِنَ الْآيَاتِ فِي ذَلِكَ يَدُلُّ عَلَى أَنَّ الطَّرِيقَ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى مُرَقَبَةِ الْأَوْقَاتِ وَعِمَارَتِهَا بِالْأَوْرَادِ عَلَى الدَّوَامِ. So with this and other evidences we learn, that the path which leads to Allah should be filled with different acts of worship and different remembrance at different times. وقال الله تعالى وهو الذي جعل الليل والنهار خلفة لمن أراد أن يذكر وأراد شكورا. And it is Allah Azza wa Jalla who made the night and the day, you know, overlapping each other. One will come after the other for the one who wants to remember or the one who wants to be thankful. أيخلف أحدهما الآخر ليتدارك في أحدهما ما فات من الآخر. So one of them follows the other so that you will catch in the latter what you may have missed in the first. Okay, that is the 5 minutes. Because now the next chapter will deal with the عدد أوراد الليل والنهار وترتيبها, the actual number of things you're supposed to do in the night and the day and the sequence of that. Very important, by the way. So we, inshallah, bi-idhnillah, one of the practical benefits is that we become consistent in doing adhkaru sabah al-masa. Yeah, we sometimes we get busy and so on and so forth, but really I remind myself and you brothers to and sisters to stick to the Adhkar Sabah and Masa. Very important. Specifically in an age where subhanAllah many Muslims are afflicted with magic, with evil eye, with envy, hasad wal'iyadu billah, and calamities befallen the people. And according to the agreement of the scholars, among the best means of protection is the remembrance of Allah. Specifically the adhkar which has been specified. After you eat, before you enter the bathroom, after you leave the bathroom, you know, when you go out and so on and so forth. These are all means of protection. So we need to be consistent in them inshaAllah ta'ala so that we may be protected bi-ithnillah. Hada wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Wa iyyakum.